الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد we continue with the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa by the eminent Shaykh رحمه الله Shaykh عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي in his famous tafsir تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان and in our last session we had stopped at ayah number 19 of Surah An-Nisa the women today inshallah ta'ala we will discuss and go over ayah 20, 21 and possibly 22 and 23 أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا But if you intend to replace a wife by another and you have given one of them a qintar of gold, which is a great amount of wealth, a great amount of wealth, as mahar. Take it, take not the least bit of it back. Would you take it wrongfully without a right and with a manifest sin? The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ مَعَ الْإِمْكَانِ فِي الْإِمْسَاكِ وَعَدَدِ الْمَحْدُورِ In the ayah prior to that, we discussed that the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla, wa alaykum salam. So we discussed in the ayah prior to that you may hate your wife, but that should not make you rush to separation and divorce, because Allah said, and you may hate something and Allah will make a lot of goodness come out of that thing which you hate. And we struck the example of Allah may bless you with a righteous child, you know, something which will benefit you in this life and the life to come, something. You will be rewarded for being patient with her and what have you. That is for what? When you have a wife with whom you have an issue, and you start leaning towards divorce. But the next ayah says, however, if you cannot, if separation is inevitable, okay, you're just incompatible, it's not working out. So the Shaykh said, وَهَذَا كُلُّ مَعَ الْإِمْكَانِ فِي الْإِمْسَاكِ The previous ayah is all in the context of being able to hold on to this woman. وَعَدَمَ الْمَحْدُورِ And there's no threat, there's no danger, there's no, something which you may be cautious of. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْفِرَاقِ وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِمْسَاكِ مَحَلٍ فَلَيْسَ الْإِمْسَاكِ بِلَازِمٍ However, if separation is inevitable and there's no room to remain with this woman, so then keeping her is not obligatory. Unlike in Christianity, where among some of the denominations, once you get married, khalas. You cannot divorce. Divorce is not even legislated in their religion. Among some of the Christians. Now, of course, Christians today don't care or couldn't care less about what Christianity teaches, so they will marry and divorce and go by the civil law, you know? They go by the secular civil law. Otherwise, their religion may prohibit them from doing so. But it's all part of the rituals. Even they go to church because it's a ritual, not because they really, think that there's any virtue or blessing. They would prefer to go to Las Vegas any day. In fact, they probably go to a church in Las Vegas so they can finish the wedding and go to the casino. Christians. And what do you know about Christians? Ouch! إذن بل متى أردتم استبدال زوج مكان زوج So, but whenever you want to replace زوجٍ مكان زوج, a wife or a couple or a spouse with another one, whenever you want to substitute a wife with another one, أي تطليق زوجة وتزوج أخرى, which means you divorce one and you marry another, فلا جناح عليكم في ذلك ولا حرج. There's no sin on you and there's no issues in that whatsoever. إحداهن أي المفارقة أو التي تزوجها قنطارا أي ملكا كثيرا. However, if you have given one of them, meaning the one you separated from, the one you had been married to, if you had given her qintara, we said qintara is a lot of fulus.
No.
A big dowry, not just dowry. Qintara specifically is a lot of gold, a lot of money. أيمالا كثيرة, a lot of wealth. فلا تأخذوا منه شيئا, do not take anything of it, بل وفروه لهن ولم تمطلوا بهن, rather supply them with it and do not elongate or try to drag this debt, because sometimes you may someone may give the mahar but he doesn't have it in cash, right? So he tells her, they call it muqaddam mu'akhkhar, I give you one in the beginning and one at the end, or one in a few months. They may have some sort of agreement that eventually he will give her that. Well, it may not be in cash. If he decides to divorce her, Allah says, even if you had given her a qintar, which is the equivalence of a lot of money, and you want to divorce her, give the whole thing to her. And do not take anything of it, nor delay payment. By telling her, I'll divorce you now, I'll pay you next year, the year after, trying to lag in giving her back her wealth. The Shaykh said, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ دِلَالَةٌ عَلَى عَدَمِ تَحْرِيمِ كَثْرَةِ الْمَهْرِ. This ayah is an evidence that a lot of money as a dowry is not forbidden. A lot of money as a dowry is not forbidden. مَعَ أَنَّ الْأَفْضَلَ وَاللَّائِقَ الْإِقْتِدَاءُ بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي تَخْفِيفِ الْمَهْرِ. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. However, that which is better and more suitable, listen to me, that which is better and more suitable is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in lightening the amount in the dowry, keeping it straight and cheap. In fact, if I remember correctly, the equivalence of the dowry the Prophet ﷺ would pay for the woman he married or when he gave his daughters in marriage was around 100 riyals.
400 dirhams.
If I'm not mistaken. No, I don't think it's more than this. Very, very little amount. Very, very little amount. I forgot the exact. It's something that you will say, but that's it? Yes. Not only when he married women, even when he gave his daughters in marriage. He gave a man another woman in marriage with some surah of the Quran. He had told them, "Iltamis khataman walaw min hadid." Seek a ring, even if it's an iron ring, okay? Which is maybe 2 riyals. You can get it for 2 riyals. The man didn't have that. He went to Mecca, Rasul Allah. He said, "I have an izar. I have a waist garment." The Rasul said, "What are you going to do with a waist garment? You rip it in half? Neither do you benefit nor does she benefit. If you have it in half, you can't cover yourself. What is she going to do with an izar?" They were poor. So he told him, "Do you know anything of the Quran?" He said, "Na'am," and he enumerated some surah he had memorized. He said, "Then your dowry is that you teach her this surah. Her dowry is you teach her this surah." Facilitation of marriage. They were not selling their daughters back then, as it is the case today. The skinnier, the more expensive. The more beautiful, unless you like fat women. The prettier, the more expensive. The more educated, the more expensive. So it becomes a business. Someone will have 3 daughters and everyone has a price. And then they have offer special discounts, in the seasons. Advertise it now, if you come within a few weeks, we will give you for a half price. Or buy one and get the other one for her brother. Or something along these lines. Allah musta'an. Tayyib. So then the idea is that it is not haram to have a lot of money as a dowry, but it is better to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وجه الدلالة أن الله أخبر عن أمر يقع منهم ولم ينكره عليهم فدل على عدم تحريمه. How did we deduce, or how did they deduce, that it is not haram to have a lot of money as a qintar? Because Allah Azza wa Jal made reference of something which happens amongst them, and Allah did not reprimand them for it, which indicates that it is not haram. And Allah said, even if you gave one of them a qintar, do not take it back. Which means that at that time there were people who were given qintar, and Allah did not criticize their action, which means that it is not haram. It is not haram. But the Shaykh will ask, لكن قد ينهى عن كثرة الصداق أو صداق إذا تضمن مفسدة دينية وعدم مصلحة تقاوم أو تقاوم. However, it may be prohibited to exaggerate the dowry if it contains a religious a harm. If it contains a religious harm and there isn't any benefit to contend with this harm. What does that mean? Yani, if it became, for example, like it is today, because of this increase in dowry, most shabab are unable to get married because they cannot afford it. This is mafsada diniya, this is a religious harm. Because when they don't get married, they will go through, or they will have to, you know, turn to other means to fulfill their bodily desires, which Allah created them with. Not that it's okay, but still, it opens the door for those who are weak to fall into fornication. And so, this becomes a harm. In this case, it becomes haram to raise the dowry. If this is not the case, then it's fine. But if it entails a religious harm and there's no benefit in return, then this should not be the case. And it becomes prohibited or forbidden to raise the dowry to this amount. ثم قال أتأخذونه بهتانا وإثما مبينا. Do you take it then? يعني this بهتانا. How did they translate بهتانا? وإثما مبينا. Don't tell me I open the calendar. Yes. Would you take it wrongfully, okay, without a right and a manifest sin? So wrongfully without a right and a manifest sin. فَإِنَّ هَذَا لَا يَحِلْ. This is not permissible. وَلَوْ تُحَيَّلْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ بِأَنْوَعِ الْحِيَلْ فَإِنَّ إِثْمَهُ وَاضِحٌ. Even if you try to trick your way through and you try to, you know, find loopholes and whatever, the sin is manifest. Yeah, they're trying to find justifying reasons to why they want to take the money back. He gives you 5,000 riyals, for example, and now that he wants divorce, he tries to find excuses why he needs 2,500 and blah blah. It's sin. Once you gave her the money, or you promised her to give her the money, and you want to divorce her, khalas. You have no right over this money after she had been your wife. Ayah 21. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وكيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض وأخذنا منكم ميثاقا غليظا. The next ayah says, and how could you take it back while you have gone in unto each other, and they have taken from you a firm and strong covenant. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ تَعَالَى حُكْمَهُ حِكْمَةَ ذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِهِ. Allah has explained the wisdom behind that. يعني why it is not conceivable that you take back the dowry. Why? What's the wisdom behind it? بقوله وكيف تأخذونه. How do you take it? وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض. And you have went into, have gone in onto each other. وأخذنا منكم ميثاقا غليظا. We have taken from you a strong covenant. وبين ذلك أن الزوج قبل عقد النكاح محرمة على الزوج. How do we understand this? The wife, the lady, prior to marriage contract, prior to the marriage contract, is she lawful or unlawful for the man? She's unlawful before marriage. She's a stranger. You have no right to even put your finger on her. Fair enough? Once you have married her, what is that pass, huh, that permits be intimate with her until part of the marriage was that he pays her a dowry, which belongs to her. فإذا دخل بها وأفضى إليها وباشرها المباشرة المباشرة التي كانت حراما قبل ذلك. Now after he was supposed to give her her dowry, and he entered into her. You know what I'm saying? They had sexual intercourse, and he became, you know, intimate with her face to face. Even though, and he did that which was forbidden upon him prior to that agreement, the marriage contract with the dowry. والتي لم ترضى ببذل إلا بذلك العوض. And she would have never accepted unless he had, for example, if a man came to this woman and said, I want to marry you, okay, to her father. And he said, I don't want to pay a dowry. I don't have a dowry. Does she have the right to refuse?
Yes.
So what allowed her, what was one of the reasons why she accepted marrying him? A dowry she was expecting from the man. So they go hand by hand, you know, hand by hand. She allowed this intimacy because part of the marriage contract was a dowry. Maybe if he told her no dowry, she would have said no marriage. Okay, she's stingy, or he's not poor, whatever her reasons may be. Now we're not saying what is advisable. We're saying what actually may happen, which is permissible. She may say, I don't want to marry this man because there's no dowry being given to me. So what was the thing which allowed him down? فَنَقَدْ سْتَوْفَ الْمُعَوَّضِ. Now, he has already attained what would be a replacement for that money. Okay, it's not like that. But we want to understand it in a business fashion. Just so it's like trade. You go to a supermarket, or you go to an electronics shop, okay? And you see a phone, or some sort of, you know, gadget, and a digital recorder. Now, you like it, you may check it out, see, you know, a few features. But can you record it? Can you record on it, can you open up the box for a brand new one and put in batteries and go into all of that? What is the thing which allows you to do that? Purchase. Once you've paid money, even though you wanted to get it before, now no one can tell you, hey, don't open the box, don't open the manual, don't remove the sticker on the screen. Why? Because this is your own product. But if you were to go there and tell them, I'll pay, and you start opening it and benefiting from this device prior to payment, you have actually already started enjoying what should have only been allowed after the payment. And you may turn around and say, I don't want to buy it. And so that's not fair. You see the point? So it's not the same, but this is what I don't understand. You tell the woman, I'm going to give you this dowry, part of the marriage contract, so we may get married. And then you set that aside, you go, and because once I do that, you become my wife, I can be close to you, intimate with you. You put that aside and you go to the next step, you know, and now you know that's not fair because you haven't given her a right in this sense, unless you agreed. But now we're saying about the one who wants to take that wealth away from her and doesn't want to give it to her. You've already benefited from what wouldn't have been rightfully yours had you not made that payment. Even فثبت عليه العوض. Now, once you've enjoyed her, it becomes compulsory on you, and then you should have paid her what would be an equivalent to that. فكيف يستوفي المعوض ثم بعد ذلك يرجع على العوض. So how then? Yeah, you made a payment, you enjoyed her, and now you want to take the money back after you've already gained what allowed you to enjoy her. That's like the recorder. You buy it and you start recording on it everything, and you transfer some files to your PC and you enjoy it for 1 week, then you go back to the store and say, I don't want this anymore, give me my money back. But they will say, no. If this is the case, we would have never allowed you to record on it and transfer files and do all these things. So how, that's not fair once you benefited from it. So that's the point that the Sheikh's trying to bring home. This is among the greatest, you know, forms of oppression and transgression. وكذلك أخذ الله على الأزواج ميثاقا غليظا بالعقد والقيام بحقوقها. Then Allah further had taken a strong covenant between the spouses. And he called the zawaj, the marriage, mithaqan ghaliza. Ghaliza is like thick. It's a thick, strong covenant between husband and wife, which permitted them to do things which otherwise would have never been permissible had they not been married, and that they should fulfill each other's rights. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَى
وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقَتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا.
Forbidden and marry not women whom your fathers married, except what has already passed. Indeed, it was shameful and most hateful and an evil way. أي لا تتزوجوا من النساء ما تزوج ما تزوجهن آباؤكم. Do not marry women whom your fathers have married. أي الأب وإن على. Very important to understand this. When we say your fathers, we mean your father, your grandfather, your grand-grandfather, and so on and so forth. الأب وإن على. The father and whoever is above him from that side. Father, grandfather. Don't marry any women whom they have married. وَإِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Verily it is fahisha, abhorrent act. أي أمرًا قبيحًا يفحشُ ويغضب قبحُ. Something abhorrent, hideous, that is disgusting and it's great in its ugliness. وَمَقْتًا مِنَ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ. And it means for Allah to hate you. وَمِنَ الْخَلْقِ. And the people to hate you. بَلْ يَنْقُطُ بِسَبَبِ يَنْقُطُ بسبب ذلك الابن أباه والأب ابنه. Rather, the son will hate his father, and the father will hate his son. مع الأمر ببره, even though he's commanded to be dutiful to him. وساء سبيلا. And there is an evil way to travel upon. أي بئس الطريق بئس الطريق طريقا لمن سلك. بئس الطريق طريقا لمن سلك. It's an horrible way for the one who travels down that path. لأن هذا من عوائد الجاهلية التي جاء الإسلام بالتنزه عنها والبراءة منها. Because this is from the ways of ignorance which Islam came to cleanse and remove and stay away from it. You understand the point? يعني if someone, it's not going to be his mother. It's not going to be his mother, obviously. But if someone has married, your father has two wives. So for the son to marry his father's wife, it's crazy. It's crazy, isn't it? Because how would the father feel? The father would look at his son, and the son is married to his wife. And vice versa. So this will create problems. This existed in Jahiliyyah. Islam, abrogated and demolished this kind of behavior. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned an ayah which is quite lengthy. That of who? Well, we have time. We have time. But
حرمت عليكم أمهاتكم وبناتكم وأخواتكم وعماتكم وخالاتكم وبنات الأخ وبنات الأخت وأمهاتكم اللاتي أرضعنكم وأخواتكم من الرضاعة وأمهات نسائكم وربائبكم اللاتي في حجوركم من نسائكم اللاتي دخلتم بهن فإن لم تكونوا دخلتم بهن فلا جناح عليكم وحلائل أبنائكم الذين من أصلابكم وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين إلا ما قد سلف إن الله كان غفورا رحيما.
Very important ayat. Forbidden to you for marriage are your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your father's sisters, your mother's sisters, your brother's daughters, your sister's daughters, your foster mother who gave you suck, your foster milk suckling sisters, your wife's mothers, your stepdaughters under your guardianship, born of your wives to whom you have gone in. But there is no sin on you if you have not gone in them to marry their daughters. The wives of your sons who spring from your own loins, and two sisters in wedlock at the same time, except what has already passed, verily Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Now the Shaykh will break it down in such a way, يعني, that will puzzle you. And I don't know whether we should have a notebook for this one. And I do suggest that you take down notes, because this is quite technical, and you know, we should be aware of these rulings. We will try to, I guess, do it today and maybe go over it again next week inshallah, so we'll give you the chance to write it down. But it's very important. Now the Shaykh said, هذه الآيات الكريمات مشتملات على المحرمات بالنسب. These noble ayat contain those who have been forbidden to you in marriage through kinship. والمحرمات بالرضاع, and those through suckling. والمحرمات بالصهر, and those who have been forbidden upon you through in-law, the in-laws. والمحرمات بالجمع, and those who have become forbidden because of combining them simultaneously. وعلى المحللات من النساء, and it contains who is permissible for you amongst women. Who are those who are permissible for you amongst women? The Shaykh said, فأما المحرمات من النسب, as for the ones forbidden upon you because of kinship ties, فهن السبع التي ذكرهن الله, they are the seven whom Allah عز وجل enumerated. الأم, beginning with the mother. ويدخل فيها كل من لها عليك ولادة وإن بعدت. Included in that is anyone who has something to do with your delivery, even if it's higher, meaning mother, grandmother, 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 إلى آخره. Because it's a sequence. Hey. ويدخل في كل أيوة ويدخل في البنت كل من لك عليها ولادة. And included in the daughter, anyone who you have something to do with her coming about. والأخوات الشقيقات أو لأب أو لأم, and the sisters, whether they are through your, from your father's side or your mother's side. والعمة, which is the aunt, right? But the amma is the paternal aunt in Islam. So we have maternal. The paternal is from your father's side, the maternal is from your mother's side. Amma is your paternal aunt. كل أخت لأبيك أو لجدك وأنا على, every sister to your father or your grandfather. Again, we're going to go up. Whether it is your father's sister or your grandfather's sister, it's the same thing. All these are called amma, right? But one is higher than the other. One is directly your aunt. One is your, you know, grand aunt. I don't know if that exists in English. على كل حال, you know what I'm saying. والخالة, and the maternal aunt. كل أخت لأمك, every sister, every mother, every sister to your mother, أو جدتك, or your to your grandmother. وإن علت, even if it's above that. وارثة أم لا, whether she inherits or she does not. وبنات الأخ وبنات الأخت, and your nephews, or let's keep it straight, because nephews and cousins is confusing. And the daughters of your brother and the daughters of your sister. The daughters of your brother and the daughters of your sister, even if lower than that. يعني, your sister has a daughter, and your daughter has a son, and that son gets married and has a daughter. It's the same thing, because now we're going down as opposed to going up. Still forbidden for you. You with me?
Yes.
Right. فهؤلاء هن المحرمات من النسب بإجماع العلماء. These are the ones that are forbidden upon you to marry from your kinship, from your loins, from your family, according to the consensus of the scholars. يعني the ulama have agreed on this. There's no difference of opinion. Alhamdulillah concerning that. كما هو نص الآية الكريمة, because the ayah is explicit in teaching that. وما عداهن فيدخل في قوله وأحل لكم ما وراء ذلكم. Anything besides that falls under the ayah which Allah will mention, and anything beyond that is permissible for you. So does that make your cousin permissible or impermissible? Permissible. Your cousin, يعني your father's, your brother's daughter. Your uncle's daughter. Permissible or impermissible? Can it? Aisha, Fatima and Ali, were they like that?
Yeah.
Abu Talib was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uncle, paternal uncle. His son was who? Ali bin Abi Talib. Fatima was the Prophet's daughter sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She married Ali. Is that an example?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Second cousin.
Yeah. Second cousin? First cousin.
First cousin.
This is his daughter. His uncle's son, يعني the Prophet's cousin, married the daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Right?
The first cousin wants to do something because it's not the same level. The cousin is not at the same level.
What do you mean at the same level?
Because Fatima is the daughter of the of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Satisfied and he removes the mouth himself. Yani until he's had his full.
right? Or his field. Until he's had his fill. Not that, you know, you put him for 1 second, 1, 2, 3, 4, but no, it doesn't work. He has to actually, drink until he's satisfied. Once he removes his head, and he's had, this is counted as one. وَأَمَّا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ بِالصِّغْرِ As through the in-lawship, فَهُنَّ أَرْبَعَ There are four. حَلَائِلُ الْأَبَاءُ وَإِنْ عَلَوْا Those who are those permissible, for the fathers, even if they, the fathers are father, grandfather, those who are permissible for them are not permissible for you. وَحَلَائِلَ أَبْنَا وَإِنْ نَزَلُ وَالِدِينَ وَمَحْجُبِينَ And those who are lawful for the children now in terms of the father, the children, even if they go down, grandson, إلى آخره. Whether they are, whether they receive inheritance or they have been blocked for other reasons. وَأُمَّهَاتُ الزَّوْجَ وَإِنْ عَلَوْا And the mothers of the wives, even if they're high. Yani someone's wife, her mother or her grandmother, all of these are forbidden upon him, which is his mother-in-law. Yani his mother-in-law and those who are higher than her. فَهَوْلَاءِ ثَلَاثِ يَحْرُمْنَا بِمُجَرَّدِ الْعَقْدِ These three become forbidden upon the contract. Once a man marries a particular woman, then automatically these three are forbidden. Automatically these three are forbidden. Who are they again? Those who are lawful for the fathers, those who are lawful for the children, and his mother-in-law. And his mother-in-law, even if it's his grandmother-in-law and what have you. وَالرَّابِعَ الرَّبِيبَ The fourth one, which becomes forbidden also, is known as الرَّبِيبَ. Who is الرَّبِيبَ? وَهِيَ بِنْتُ زَوْجَتِي وَإِنْ نَزَلَتْ This is his daughter's, his wife's daughter. His wife's daughter. Now pay attention. فَهَذِهِ لَا تُحْرَمْ تَحْرُمُ حَتَّى يَدْخُلْ بِزَوْجَتِهِ But however, this last one does not become forbidden until he has sexual intercourse with his wife. The first three, once they have a contract, before physical contact, once they get married in a nikah, automatically his mother-in-law becomes forbidden upon him for good. And the other two. The rabiba only becomes forbidden once he has sexual intercourse with his wife. Rabiba is his wife's daughter. Somebody marries an ex-married woman. Somebody married a widow. Okay? And this widow had a daughter. And that daughter, let's say, was beautiful. A beautiful 16, 17 year old. I'm going to give you the hypothetical story so you'll understand the ayah. She's not forbidden upon him to marry until he decides to marry her mother. Until he has sexual relations with his mother as his wife. Once he does so, this lady becomes his rabiba, meaning she's not lawful for him anymore. She's not lawful for him anymore, she's like his daughter. But she lives with him in the same house, she's not going to wear hijab. وربائبكم اللاتي في حضوركم نساءكم التي دخلتم بهن وقد قال الجمهور ان قول اللاتي في حضوركم قد يقيد خرج بمخرج الغالب لا مفهوم له يعني الله said the ربائب who are in your homes and the شيخ the علماء say Allah only uses because most likely they will be in the homes if she's living outside it doesn't mean that she becomes lawful for you once you have entered into her mother then the daughter becomes forbidden upon you ولكن للتقي فإن الربيبة تحرم ولو لم تكن في حجره she becomes forbidden upon you even if she doesn't live with you in the same apartment ولكن للتقييد بذلك فائدة but there's a benefit in Allah mentioning the ربائب who are living with you in your own apartment إحداهما the first فيه تنبيع على الحكمة في تحريم الربيبة there's Allah is alluding to the wisdom behind making the ربيبة forbidden upon you once you have had intercourse with her mother وأنها كانت بمنزلة البنت she's like your daughter She becomes like your daughter. فَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَحِ بَحَدِيَ It is abhorrent to make her lawful for you if you were, her mother is lawful for you. وَالثَّانِيَ فِي دَلَالَ عَلَى جَوَازِ الْخَلْوَ بِالْرَبِيبَ The second evidence or wisdom is the indication that it is permissible to be in seclusion with her. Because she is not lawful for you. وَأَنَّهَا بِمَنْزِلَةْ مَنْ هِيَ فِي حِجْرِهِ مِنْ بَنَاتِ وَنَحْوَيْ She is equal to other women or other, like his daughters, to other girls who are in his apartment like his daughters and the likes. Wa والله أعلم, الله knows best. Now, the sheikh that he mentioned, now if the husband did not go into his wife, her mother, and then he decided that he wants to divorce the mother and marry the daughter, that's fine. Provided that what? He did not have intercourse. Once he has intercourse, it's over. If not, he may change his mind because she's still lawful for him. Even though, yani, this may be a little difficult to do in real life, because what, you know, you're gonna tell a woman, I was gonna marry you, but I think I'm gonna marry your daughter now. She's not gonna be a happy camper, right? But you know, that may happen. The deen of Allah is in such a way where it deals with also potential possibilities and circumstances which the people may need. Even though it may not be common, or it may not be encouraging this kind of act, it's not necessarily encouraging this kind of act, but at least Allah clarifies the law and the rule for the people. So they may act. If this may happen, it's not likely to happen, but it may happen. But once he has a relation with the woman, then she becomes his rabiba. And that is, she can no longer be lawful for him. وَأَمَّا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ الْجَمَعَاتِ, for those who are unlawful because of combination, فَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ الْجَمْعَ بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ وَحَرَّمَهُ, Allah has made mention of combining two sisters. Yeah, you cannot marry, you know, two twins, even though that would be very boring, right? It's like the same thing all the time. But you cannot marry two sisters, even if they're not twins, at the same time. You cannot have two sisters be in your wife simultaneously. Allah mentioned it and made it haram. وَحَرَّمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ جَمْعَ بَيْنَ الْمَرْأَةِ وَعَمَّتِهَا وَخَالِتِهَا. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ had forbidden bringing or combining or marrying a woman along with her aunt, her paternal aunt, or her maternal aunt. From the Quran, Allah may forbid in what? Marrying two sisters. The Sunnah, according to Hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not marry a woman and her aunt, whether paternal or maternal. Cannot have them together. فَكُلُّ مْرَأَتَيْنِ بَيْنَهَمَا رَحِمُ وَحَرَمُ. So any two women actually, who have a kinship tie between them, in this sense, it's haram for you to marry them simultaneously. لَوْ قُدِّرَ أَحْدَاهُمَا ذَكَرًا وَالْأُخْرَى أُنْثَى حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْهِ. If it has been decreed that one of them is a male, the other one is a female, she becomes forbidden upon him. فَإِنَّهُ يَحْرُمُ الْجَمْعَ بَيْنَهُمَا. It is impermissible to bring a relation or marry them together simultaneously. وَذَلِكَ لِمَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ التَّقَاطُعِ بَيْنَ الْأَحْلَامِ, because this leads to severing the kinship ties. They're going to be jealous of one another, and that this one is going to stop speaking to her aunt, stop speaking to whatever, and it will destroy the family. This happens very often. And I think, inshallah, this is sufficient for today. Inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive and healthy next week, we'll be dealing with ayah number 24 and what follows. It's quite lengthy. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.